We didn't discount Poppy's mom.
I think everybody's Poppy's mom by now.
Welcome to The Story Thinker, a Webtoons and Witcher podcast for superfans with scene-by-scene analysis. Featuring sharp co-hosts for a fuller picture, we dive deep into character psychology, relationships, and theories. We'd love it if you could like, subscribe, comment, and rate us on all podcast platforms and social media. For bonus content, you can support The Story Thinker on Patreon. Let's begin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 121 of Midnight Poppyland. And we are here with Raluca, Sosny, and Darla.
Hey, how's it
going? And if you'll notice, we are intentionally slash unintentionally wearing Tora's tattoo between us three, with Sosny with her koi fish, and Ralu with the flowers. And then Fawzin and found a not exactly tiger print, but animal print dress, which is now a scarf. So. And Darla,
I love that
black hair of Tora.
Black hair.
All right, so Darla, you can start us off.
Okay, so I do apologize if I sound like I'm reading. I just want to show you my new tablet that I got from work, and I took notes like Emily style. So I'm gonna be kind of reading off of it just to keep my head organized. Okay. So we're going to start off on the first panel. This is from continuation of episode 120. And we see Tora looking off to the side, you know, with that face of annoyance, like lying. But I don't, sorry. That's fucking bullshit. First of all, you know, we all know he is in denial, complete denial of his feelings. So, you know, that annoying face, whatever, like, forgive me if I call him a name at once or twice while I read him, but I still love him. But, you know, he is being an absolute stupid right now. Okay, let's move on to the second panel.
And that's in case anyone's just listening, we're all nodding.
So the second panel, we have Tora, Poppy. So, you know, she's saying that that's fine, you have every right not to, but you see her facial expression. She has this thing about her where she keeps smiling through the sadness, lying to herself to make herself feel better. And, you know, what did I write down? I said, Poppy is trying to self-soothe herself by acting okay with Tora's shitty response. She smiles to herself, yet still has sad eyes, which is the dead giveaway with how she truly feels.
You're like literally crying. There's tears there.
Yeah. I know, literally crying.
There were tears before when she said, I love you. So.
Right.
And I've been, a little tangent. Yeah, what's that?
Oh, I didn't mean to stop your tangent. I'm sorry, my video is a little hiccupy. I just was going to say that to me, that face, like it perfectly reflects the face that I felt as a reader when I read that at the end of the last episode. It's like gut punch. Like you get the gut punch, but you can't, you've got, you know, the social kind of, oh, that's fine. That's okay. Everything's great. You know? So she's, but you can see on her face that, you know, to me, it's just like she's about to throw up. Like it just, that was awful because she was at her most vulnerable, exposed, honest moment, and then she gets, he doesn't meet her there, right? And so it's that gut punch. And I just love how the little highlights in the back kind of frame that look, the highlights on his tattoo.
I think she feels betrayed
with my cousin right there on his shoulder. Yes, it's beautiful.
Hey. So ridiculous. I love that.
Poppy feels betrayed because they have established a trust between each other. So she has entrusted him with her secrets and her vulnerabilities. But he, in this moment, he doesn't do the same. And that's not only a betrayal that I don't love you. She knows somehow that he's lying. So she knows that he's trying to push her away. So it's not necessarily the rejection that he doesn't love her, because I think that deep down she knows that Tora loves her. It's the rejection of the help that she was willing to give him, like being his support or listening to him or saying, being willing to discuss about what he does or whatever he wishes, because that was her intent when she came into his bedroom, right? I'm going to stay here until he opens up, until he feels he's in the depths of despair. So I'm going to create a safe space for him to open up. Mm. But he doesn't. And that's the sting. That's the rejection. Like, I'm giving you space here, but you don't want it. You don't want my help.
That's a very good point. I'm just going to say that even if she knows that he really loves her and she understands that he's in denial for whatever reason, that in itself, that he's not able to be open with her and be in a relationship with her honestly, is also very painful. You know, she's finally ready to admit that. So it's...
And we know that she struggled a lot with admitting feelings, admitting even little things like she misses him. Remember, I miss you, thanks. So... yeah, so for her, it took courage, a lot of courage to tell him I love you.
That's what I was going to say. Like, my read in that moment would be that he's speaking and acting from fear, whether or not it's a fear I understand. It's, you know, he's not meeting me where I am.
Mm-hmm. Right, she's pushing through the fear because she also has her own fears. But she decided to go ahead with it despite her fears. And yeah, he's not ready to do that yet.
Yeah, well, we'll find out later what his fears are. Mm, but she, obviously she doesn't know it and she can't see it this way. She just sees that it's another iteration of Regina speak.
Mm.
Okay, so I guess moving on to the next panel. So we have Poppy and Tor sitting in the bedroom still. So Poppy says, but this is Regina's peak again, isn't it? You're pushing me away and you're lying just to keep me safe. And Tor says, nah, sweetheart, I really don't.
Yeah, with his back turned to her and he's in the shadows. So yeah, who's going to believe you?
I was going to say, Raluca, talk about the lighting.
Yes.
I just did. What else?
Oh, did you want to talk about the lighting?
No, she did already. She did before I could even suggest it.
Okay. I guess I'll just say what the thoughts that I put down, whether or not you want to agree with anything, that's totally fine. Okay, so everything is confirmed in this panel. So she brought up Regina's peak. I'm saying it Eileen's way because I just absolutely love it. And she calls Tor out on being a straight up liar about his feelings. When you look at all the body language, Tor is completely turned away from her as he avoids eye contact, positions his body away from her, and almost makes himself small in a sort of self-soothing way to protect himself. And then I went into lighting as well. So Poppy is consistently seen in the light. Tora reverts to the darkness as he is sinking into dreadful abyss of his denial of his own feeling. And he knows that he's lying to protect her. So, you know, he just gets so caught up in his own emotions and it's all stemming down to fear, just like how everyone said earlier. That he purposely just is trying to push her as much as she can, as he can.
I love what you said about his body
language. Yeah, Darren, that's exactly what I was going to say, Mindy, because that when he made himself smaller, but look at them, their postures are both very childlike.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. He looked like a small kid who was like feeling sad and scared, and he was just cuddling himself, especially because he just rejected Poppy's comfort, so he now has to comfort himself. So sad.
Okay. That's so sad.
The fact that she looks like a small kid and is in his own world now, remind me to come back to that when we talk about his mom.
Mm.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. By the way, also the lighting in general, guys, for the themes that it displays, it's just so aesthetically gorgeous. The blues and the reds, it's just gorgeous. And I love the sound effects. The last episode with the shh and the rain.
Yeah, the rain and the lights look like, you know, when cars pass by in the rain and they have all sorts of lights projecting on the walls. Mm-hmm. That felt amazing. It was almost like, you know, creating when it's a storm outside and you're inside under a cozy blanket, you have that feeling of being protected, being in a bubble, you know, let's say safe space.
Yeah.
And that's how it felt like at the beginning of the last episode when they were protected, they were in their own bubble, in their own worlds. Just like in the episode with when Poppy went to him after Gudrun's restaurant, when they were in the kitchen, in his kitchen, it was the same. It was raining outside, and it was exactly the same feeling that they were, you know, safe space.
Oh.
Okay, we're gonna get emotional today, so.
All right, so I guess we're going to move on to the next one. And surprisingly, just this little panel alone of the prying Poppy's hand off his arm, it got me writing like a full-on essay, okay? Full-on fucking essay, which I never do, but I... Forgive me if I sound like I'm reading, okay? It's, yeah, just interrupt me and whatever.
Okay. I love it when you read.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Nice. Fine. Okay, so, all right, so describing the panel. So we see Tora's koi arm, Peg's cousin on his arm right now, and he's saying, got carried away just now. Sorry it gave you the wrong idea. And then he's grabbing Poppy's wrist and pries her hand off of his arm. So on this panel, okay, let me just, okay, this is the main point. So he pries Poppy's hand off of his arm the same way in the first arc in episode 20 when Tora and Poppy are talking near Alice's sushi restaurant. So let's go all the way back to that episode because there were a few panels that completely foreshadowed their future. And if you remember during that time in episode 20, Poppy grabs Tora's arm so she can reveal that he is the dude that saved her from the tree. She is forthright with her actions, and she had no fear to grab his arm and to tell him that she believed that he wasn't a bad person due to his selfless actions, like saving her from a deadly fall. She grabs his arm in a desperate attempt to plead her case and tell him that she has trust in him. And the line that absolutely stands out from that episode, episode 20, is when Tora yells, What? So just because I saved you from a fall, you decide to fall in love with me? And then at that time, she responds, I didn't fall in love with you, you arrogant jerk. And then now we're going to fast forward to this panel here that we see. Okay, so she openly admitted in the last episode that she loves him. So we know she is definitely in love with him now. His actions scream how much he fucking cares about her and literally goes out of his way for her. So back in that episode, he acted the same way in the sort of self-destructive tendency to not let anyone in. This is him literally pulling her away, or rather pushing her away from him. He's scared and he feels like he doesn't deserve the love and kindness from someone like Poppy. Okay, that's it.
Professor Darla. Oh.
That was awesome. Tried, man. I freaking tried. I stayed up till 1:30 in the morning. I got home at 11 last night.
Wow. Dedication.
That was beautiful.
Such a good
connection to that episode. I remember that scene. You're right.
So sad. Oh my gosh. Like back then it was like, okay, if he pushed her away because they didn't really know each other. But now for him to do that, it's devastating. Ugh.
Ugh. And notice in this panel, he has to pry her hand off his arm. So she's becoming stronger in her actions in itself. You know, in episode 20, he just like does this motion like, in that like asshole way. I hate when guys do that. It's just so annoying. But yeah, the fact that she's so desperate to try to like get him to understand her, and it's hard for her to let go. Like she literally didn't let go until he forcibly pulled her off. It's kind of, it is heartbreaking, you know. I mean, at the same time, I don't let myself like get too depressed when I read this shit, because I know that, you know, ultimately they're gonna be together, so I don't really get too emotional. I wish I did. I you know, would make me feel the emotions more. But yeah,
landed on thick too in his dialogue.
What happened?
He's painting with a really thick brush. I really don't. Sorry, wrong idea. Look, you know, it's just like it doesn't sound like all of his other dialogue. It's just so
terse.
Yeah, I mean he's just laying it on thick. It's like he's building a little wall with word bricks between or trying to. Good luck.
He's really, really making himself look like an asshole and be a jerk on purpose. So Poppy doesn't want to be with him. Mm-hmm. Which is such a damn shame.
Such a futile attempt.
If I think so now he acts like an asshole. But she doesn't call him out like she did in episode 20, when she was just, you're a freaking jerk. I didn't fall in love with you. Now she just refrains herself for, I don't know, calling him names or telling him he's acting like an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's just so used to his standoffish behavior that it's like, oh, that's just Tora being Tora. It's like when you're around someone like that long enough, I think
now she's willing to forgive that.
Yeah,
like he has leeway with her in acting like this. So okay, I know now. Also, she knows where he's coming from, so that's another reason to move past it, because she knows that that's his MO, just deflect and reject whenever he feels often in a way.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. All right, so let's move on to the next panel. So we see Corin Poppy on Tora's bed. So let's just read. So Poppy saying, but, and then Tora saying, look, you should go. I'm tired and shit. I mean, she's continuing to attempt to still explain herself. It's clear as day that Tora keeps continuing to face himself away from her. Really, really wants to prove a point that he doesn't want to face her or communicate any of these feelings.
He's even, I don't know if he's scooted over to the edge of the bed, but they're physically further apart than they were before.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny that we see Poppy still on his bed, kind of in this position of like a recline, you know, her legs look relaxed. And it's like, she's still, her body language, she's still open to, the word receive is kind of weird, to receive him or receive his feelings or explanations, but you know, it's clear that
she's still open to discussions. She still wants to try.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's not having it at all.
You can see it in the next panel that she tries, let's say, lead by example when she tries to overcome her fears when she says in the next panel, but I miss you. Remember what you well.
But that pose is ambiguous. I mean, you could see it as a come hither kind of leaning back, or you could be in that pose because someone just pushed you over backwards and you caught yourself. And you're like, you know, more stiff armed. So it's kind of a double pose. Isn't that the room he was sleeping next to the bed before? That room at Quincy's house? Yeah.
It might be.
Sleeping on the floor, I mean. Yeah.
It was. I remember the same picture on the wall.
Yeah. It's that or the room, the guest room in which.
This isn't because this is the Japan. This is the Asian inspired house that he just bought Poppy.
Wait, aren't they at Quincy's
place? No, they are at Quincy's.
Mm-hmm. And he stayed over Quincy's house and slept on the floor next to the bed in the room he sleeps at when he's there being a bodyguard, editor, whatever.
Gotcha.
Data reader.
He banged against the door because Quincy was like sleeping with the bartender.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah.
The same painting on the wall. It's the same room.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. So it's clear that they are at Quincy's location. Okay. So moving on to the next panel, as Raluca touched on, we see Poppy clearly having this emotional battle with herself. So she says, but I miss, and then we see this internal dialogue that she has with herself. But I miss you. I want to be with you tonight. Remember Moonbright? Forget about pride. Just say it to him. She's struggling to say her feelings. I felt like Poppy has been very honest. She's a very honest person. But at this moment, I can see why she's struggling to get it out, because she's being rejected. She's being pushed away.
Mm-hmm. I'm impressed that she's even continuing to try.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I think she's afraid she will lose him. Ever since she finds out from Quincy that he might be put on a death row if people find out his footage, or if people find out what he does for a living, then I think that was the moment when she decides it's all or nothing. I don't want to waste any more time. I just want to go all in, and if it doesn't, then it's fine, but I will try no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she was in Moonbright when she was touching his lashes. She didn't want to say it then that she liked him or that she admired him or that she was attracted to him or that she got feelings for him or whatever, out of pride. And now she's like, forget about your pride, just do it because maybe you won't have another chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a YOLO moment.
Mm-hmm. I've never identified as much with Poppy as in this panel, where she's struggling to get the words out and her self-censor is on full defense mode, protection mode, and she's trying to get those speak mm-hmm. because, you know, that's one of my essential struggles as well. So I get her.
Yeah. Totally. Always good to be honest, though. Never hold anything inside. But then that's speaking from someone that, like, I hold like anger inside, but like everything else, I'm open to saying, which is crazy. Okay, so the next panel, we have Tora's feet. Just curious, are any of you feet women?
I did notice his feet and I looked at them for like a few seconds, but you know, I don't have anything to remark on them except that they seem to match the rest of his body. You know, they're just proportional and nice and feet.
Thick.
I'm still reeling on like Eileen's last podcast where she's like, Tor is such a feet man. And I'm just like, girl, please, no, please, God, no.
No,
but
he's a boobies and ass man.
Yeah,
but, he being everything, man.
If he was touching her feet, I think it was just touching any part of her. Like it was an intimate position.
I kind of lean with it. I can see him nibbling on the insteps and doing things to her with his feet. It could happen.
Oh my God, I am clutching my pearls, Peg. Oh, that is absurd.
Peg, the agent of chaos.
His toenails are clean. I think we can all appreciate that. He just did just shower, but you know.
Yeah, clean feet are great.
To show us that he moves further away from her.
Yes.
So she still insists, but he takes a physical distance from her.
Yeah, he's not like going to push her out of the room physically. So he's like, well, if you're not leaving, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
It's just so... what did I put in my notes? I said he was kind of being a douchebag. You can have this room tonight. I'll leave. And then Poppy's, no, I'll go. Don't worry about it.
Such self.
I hate that. I hate that.
And now we are shown that she holds anger.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely is not going to lash out at that moment. It's just crazy that he's, you know, he's willing to remove himself from the bedroom just to be further away from her. And and just to continue on my sentence, Tora's just being an absolute idiot in this panel. You know, he's pushing away the best thing that has ever happened to him, and I just can't with him. I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
But he knows it. If we go to the next panel, he knows it. He knows what he's done. You see it.
Yeah, his face is so full of like anguish and anger. Ugh. But like desperation, you know, he doesn't know what else to do.
Frustration.
Yeah. I mean, he's frustrated. He can't even say how he truly feels, nor does he even acknowledge what he is actually feeling. He's just had enough. And I mean, I get it. I get it. And we'll explain more in later on in this episode, but like I understand why he has such this immense fear of allowing someone to love him. Okay, so the next panel we have Poppy. She is attempting to exit the bedroom door. Wait, so Tor is saying that, and then you see a ba-dump right next to her. So, you know, me being a girl, us being women, I think we would have this like little sense of hope. Oh my gosh, what else? What does he want from me? Yep. Is he changing his feelings? Like, does he actually want to open up to me now?
Delusion, delusion. I actually didn't think so when I heard
the last shred of hope. You know, that hope dies last, right?
You know, I know. That's just so sad. But, you know, a part of me will always hold on to whatever hope. But yeah, let's move on to the next panel. And clearly our hope is dead. So, yeah, Tora being, I will explain. Okay. So he says, intruder alarms are rigged outside the apartment walls and the building's isolated enough to be out of range. So just make sure you lock the windows and doors.
By the way, I just realized, remember last episode, it was like all the cars going past and the lights outside, which clearly it was like in a city. I was like, I don't know, but it's isolated enough to be out of range, but fine.
I mean, I just think he's being...
impression doesn't mean that there were cars.
Like, I think Tora's just being so unsexy. Like, he's just being this militant, what are those guys called? The ones that are in charge? Captain? Come on,
he's being such a dad right now.
Like, okay. Okay, I guess that's fair. Like,
be safe. Go away. Go to your room.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Like, you know, a militant, almost drill sergeant-like dad.
After the girl was vulnerable to you, you say, go away.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most unsexiest panels, just emotionally speaking. Yeah, he's just, I would just be like, whatever, dude, you know.
He just adds to the frustration. He just adds to her anger.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you're going hot and cold with me now. So before that, you were all over me. Then you said, oh, okay, no, sorry, I just gave you the wrong idea. I didn't mean it like that. Come on. And now, okay, go away. But I still care about you. Mm-hmm. I still care that you are safe.
What? To be fair, she was the one who put the brakes on when they were getting hot and heavy.
Mm.
Wanted to talk about climate change or whatever. So, I mean, he's got the good balls here, but it's not entirely from his doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you know, it was confusing, but because it was kind of the prelude to Poppy then saying, I love you, but would it have happened if Tora hadn't like pushed her? I don't know, you know, because it was very also, yeah, it was like random and out of place and stop the sexiness. But like, what would have happened, you know, if she had just been allowed to continue questioning? Would she have eventually come to say, I love you?
Like, I think it was very realistically depicted that she was started spiraling during their sexy time, because she's young, she's still inexperienced, and she still had a lot of self-doubt because of her former relationship, and she had just been hit with the shock that maybe she knew that Tora, or she suspected that Tora was a hitman, but she had it spelled out by Quincy. So that was a shock that she hadn't got time to process yet. So everything just boiled down in emotions. And Poppy is an overthinker. She overthinks. She starts sabotaging herself. So when they were getting intimate, her mind was going a mile a minute. Like, I found this and this and this, and what if I don't, what if tomorrow he leaves? What if tomorrow he's caught? What if I don't know enough about him? What if we are running out of time? And that just killed the whole
Yeah, but still, I mean, that's all true and everything, but stopping a makeout session to basically start interviewing your partner can also be seen as pushing him away or on some level of rejection. I mean, I don't want to go back and analyze last episode because we got a lot more in this one, but
Yeah, right. I think
he's seen from his perspective as a dude for sure.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to the next. So after he's giving Poppy all those drill sergeant orders, Poppy says, "Oh, I know. Quincy briefed me about all that already. Thanks for your concern, though. Good night."
Oh my god, and the flowery bubble speech. Oh my goodness. Oh,
you know what? I mean, here she's smiling her pain away again. I just wish she was more real, but I know it's coming. I know, but
I feel like it's also a jive at Tora, where she's like, okay, if you're gonna, you know, pretend that we're nothing to each other, I'm gonna pretend right back. I'm gonna act like a, you know, like a stranger would. Oh, thanks so much, like Mr. Customer Service Fellow. I appreciate all your help today.
Oh yeah, it's so apparent. She's truly hiding what she's feeling. And next panel, slam. She yeah. Well deserved. I think that action in itself said everything, how she feels. She's angry. She's had enough of the bullshit.
She's hurt.
Like, if it would, you know, if Tora was standing, like, say if it was one of those doors that you just, like, totally, like, slam, like, in their face. Oh, if Tora was standing right there, yeah, it would have been a millimeter away from his nose. but, you know, these are, I think this was a sliding door, so he was very lucky in that aspect.
Oh, man.
I guess so it's nearing to the end of my part, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And then we see Tora in the yellow background. Gee, which passive aggressive door slamming asshole has she been hanging out with? Sigh.
Don't answer that. It's
you. I wonder if he's like actually making a joke or if he's
saying, yeah, not. Yeah, he's making the joke.
Okay.
Yeah, he's that's his self deprecating humor.
It's just so funny. He would say passive aggressive. Fool, you're aggressive.
Aggressive, aggressive.
Aggressive, aggressive.
And the little glowing light of her is now gone.
Oh.
Mm hmm. He's all alone in the dark now.
I still think.
Yeah. We're about to go even darker because he spirals into memories now.
Mm. Yeah, take it away.
And we, yeah. So he remembers. Mama, are you mad at me? Talk to me, Ma. And that's just the panel where he says, Christ, get out of my head, both of you. Both of you meaning his mom and Poppy, right?
Maybe even baby Torah. I was wondering also.
Or yes, his mom and his younger self.
His mom and his younger self. Could be. I'm going to go over to a few panels and then discuss. Then we see his little hand with dinosaurs band-aids. That's it. Mama, you need a band-aid. I have two of them. I was saving up, but you can have. Oh my God, that's such a kid thing to do, saving up band-aids for scraps and nothings.
I feel like, to me, I know that they were poor, that they didn't have a lot of money, so a band-aid was a precious commodity. So you had to save it up.
We don't know that. That might be the case. But kids are collectors. They save up lots of things that for us don't mean anything. But,
yeah,
mama's fine, sweetheart. Go out and play. And he still insists, but you're bleeding. You got to stop the... And she yells at him. We see her, his mother. We have a really red background, which is, again, very fitting and foreshadowing for the next panels. And we see her figure sitting, I don't know, somewhere on the floor. And she has these scratches on her. And we don't see her face at that moment, which is even more powerful, that we can hear her shouting. We can hear her, let's say, metaphorically become a monster to her kid. God damn it, Torah, which part of I'm fine do you not understand? So I was wrecked by these panels. I mean, I am a mother myself. I know very closely how it is to lose your shit with your kids, how it feels to go crazy, how it feels to yell at them, and obviously to realize after you have done it what you did. And I cannot blame him for saying I hate mama, because, well, these are things that all kids say. But the panel with her and him trying to soothe her, it's heartbreaking on so many levels. I don't even know how to begin. So I was saying that remind me to go back to the panel when Poppy is asking him, please open up, be vulnerable with him. I'm here for you. It's the exact same thing that Torah as a kid did to his mom. And he, as an adult, reacted to Poppy similar to how his mom reacted to him.
Yeah, the cycle.
He just repeated the cycle that he was, not necessarily he was taught, but he internalized that. And, that it's
yep. The older I get, the more I'm like my mom.
We have the opportunity to become better than our parents, right? For Torah, this scene, this memory, this is something that is part of his core memories. This is something that he has internalized during the over the past years, during his maturity, because later, I'm getting ahead of myself. Later we'll find out that his mom just is very superstitious, let's say like that. Anyways, we finally see her And her eyes, are red. So,
do you think they're always red, or do you think they're red just in this moment?
No, I think they're always red.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pretty clear indication. It'll come up. We'll talk more then.
By the way, I just noticed Poppy. Not Poppy. He's the mom is wearing the same off the shoulder top that Poppy's wearing in this scene. Just a small. Hmm.
Yeah.
Coincidental.
Yeah, and then the kid Dora says, "I was just trying to help because Pa's gone." She grabs him and he's like, "Let me go! I was just trying to help." So he's obviously scared. And then that's the moment when she realized I lost it again. You see how Lily depicted the expression of her eyes going wide and gritting teeth and the little mouth curves
down. Yeah, I mean she looks so guilty.
And the eyebrows, exactly.
You know, she really does. She really cares. She's not a uncaring person. She's just a very stressed out, pressure person right now.
Well, I think she firmly believes that she is cursed, and she is going indeed through a lot of stress. But somehow, it might be also like placebo effect. If you know you have it, you have it. You act like it.
Mm-hmm.
So she realizes she lost it, and then she hugs him, tells him, "I'm sorry, sweetie. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And she starts to cry. He starts to cry. Sorry, he starts to cry and says, "I hate Mama."
It's kind of interesting in this last little sequence how the background color reflects is external representation of her mood. So like, God damn it, Tora, she's angry, then she's red. And then when he starts saying, "Let me go," it kind of cools off a little bit, and then fuck. And then it pales out to white as she gets control of herself again and tries to reconnect. So that's pretty. And then of course, when she goes into talking about the next subject, the red comes back, of course. But I thought that was pretty effective. I thought it was very effective.
Yeah, it's very cinematic, and it really pulls you in with the red background. It's like you're looking through the scope of a rifle.
Yeah.
And the little spots of glow around their figures as she tries to embrace him.
Mm-hmm. Right, showing the warmth that she really, does care for him.
Yeah, it's like when you're crawling out of the pit and you see the light, you see a bit of light, but you just can't hold on, and you stumble back in.
All that motion in her hair just gives her the feeling of kind of a wild thing, or a natural, to me anyways, character.
Well, she might have been a bit unhinged, because right after that she got into a curse. So it's cursed. Our bloodline is cursed. Do you remember, Tora? And she really has that crazy look in her eyes, right? In the next panel. And baby Tora is, "Yeah, but I thought you were just shitting me."
So,
baby Tora, you are 4 or 5. And that's quite the mouth on you.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing he heard a lot of cursing in his childhood. Probably.
Yeah. So she says, "No, Mama's dead serious, sweetie. We have a butt dump from him." And then Lily just cuts out her eyes and leaves only her smile, which is another very effective technique to insert craziness, insert fear in the hearts of the readers, insert anguish. And she's laughing. You either go mad first, or the one you love is going to give up their life to save yours. Just like what your pa did for me. Don't say I didn't warn you. And she's laughing, and we have the background with the demon.
I mean, she can we say, like, you know, she's kind of she's going off the rails. And with this demon in the background, I think we can all agree, since we've read Asura's Bride, that looks to be the Okuri Inu.
Well, whoever read Asura's Bride and whoever didn't, just go now and read it.
Oh, you must. And it's one of the most beautiful webtoons I have ever seen. You know, if you're into like a historical type aesthetic, it's absolutely gorgeous.
Painterly
you won't
imagery.
Be able to choose, like, Tora, yeah. Ulan.
You can also read it in one sitting. It's like only 10 episodes, and we did a podcast on those 10 episodes, so.
Oh, that reminds yes. me. My very first podcast was on episode 5 of Asura's Bride, which was the exact episode that was talking about the Okuri Inu.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and when I That's saw so this episode, I was like, oh shit, I can't believe it.
That is awesome.
Full circle, yeah.
Oh, the circle is, yes. It's yeah, completed so itself.
For whoever doesn't know it, in Asura's Bride, we have Tora's ancestors. Lily admitted at some point on her Instagram, I think, that Tora is a descendant of Ulan and Yuwa from Asura's Bride. And we have the Okuri Inu lore, which is they are seen as guardians, demons that are not. She doesn't say in Asura's that they are cursed. They are more like his guardians. They can help him only if he doesn't show weakness. He, meaning Ulan. And a very distinctive trait was that he had red eyes, just like Tora mom does in his in these panels.
But like, if we're gonna revert back to Asura's Bride, like. Remember Ulan's eyes became darker after he like
buried
fell in love with Yuwa and stuff. So it's like,
yeah, I think in the last episode his eyes became darker. But
so that... it's like, is the red just a temporary thing until, I don't know, let's just say, like, oh, they find their true love or something.
Until they become sane again.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we don't know, but I kind of like that I don't know everything about this lore, because that's the beauty of the supernatural, right? That's the beauty of the legends, because not always they make sense. Not always you know everything. Some things just can't be explained. Maybe his eyes became darker, but that doesn't mean that the Okuri Inu left his bloodline. That doesn't mean that, I don't know, any other in his line of descendants couldn't have had the guardianship of those demons. Also, the lore transformed, because now Tora's mom says that she is cursed, and the curse is very specific. You either go mad first, or you have someone you love sacrificed for you. And it looks like she did both. It looks like she is mad. She went mad.
Mm.
But we don't know if she went mad from grief, because his father, her husband, sacrificed himself for her, or if she went mad because of the curse or because she believed it. And honestly, we don't have to know. It's just the emotion that you feel in these panels, and the fact that she firmly believed that and transmitted that to Tora. And Tora internalized that so much that he steered clear of love all his life. So
that is sad. Do you think we're gonna get more about this person in the future, where Tora is gonna refuse to be with Poppy until he believes he's broken the curse?
You might. I think we can delve into theories later, but I think he will not have time to push her away. I think some other things will happen before that that will bring them together by circumstances. I don't know what could happen either. I'm going on a limb here, but either Poppy gets harmed or something that pushes him towards her, and who knows, maybe they find a way to break the curse. Okay. We have the next panel with the newspaper, which says a 26-year-old woman was acquitted from the brutal assassination of an important member of Congress after her 27-year-old husband stepped forward to plead guilty. Following a year of trial, the man was charged and hanged last week, leaving behind his widow and their 4-year-old son. Citizens of Marin gathered to mourn the loss of their congressman, who was not only an exceptional leader, but also a descendant of Marin's last monarchies. Whatever.
I realized I totally misread this. I was thinking that they were mourning Tora's father, who was the descendant of Tora's last monarch.
Yeah, Lily revised. Lily revised this episode and made the newspaper article more clear. So the citizens of Narin mourned the congressman, which is a descendant of the monarchy. So what we find out from this snippet is that she was the one who killed a congressman. His father stepped up and confessed and got hanged for it. And we don't know if she was related to the congressman or not. Because I think most of the people would think that she was somehow related to the congressman, because she is from Asura's bloodline, so she's from a line of kings, and the congressman was also a descendant of Narin's monarchies. But at some point, when Poppy googled Quincy, and she found out that King Tsagaan was usurped by somebody, we don't know by whom, this means that the congressman might not have been from the bloodline of Ulan. They might not have been related at all.
So from the other king.
Yeah.
Wasn't he usurped by Baltiman? And I'm trying to remember, what episode was that in?
It doesn't say that they were usurped by Baltiman.
He made the Baltiman an aristocrat, didn't he? Gave him a title.
Yeah. So the last king of Narin, the king that was thrown into exile, made the Baltimans.
Okay.
Gave them titles. But it's not stated that the Baltimans overthrew the king.
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't be out of character for them to turn on the person that once they had their power, but who knows what happened.
Yeah.
I like the kind of creepy laughter that's giggles that get fading out all around the article.
I love that. I love the hee-hee-hees. There's another webtoon I read. God, I can't even think of the name right now. But anyways, there's demons like all over that webtoon, and they continuously go hee-hee-hee, like the same way. So it's just like, I feel like Tora's mom is almost like allowing the demon slash Akari Inu just like take over her into madness. You know, she's clearly going crazy here. You know, I do love a crazy person.
Kind of, yeah.
They're fun. But
also, this relates very well to Tora's dark aura. Like, even Poppy sensed it. Vincent saw it or sensed it as well. It relates to him being able to see ghosts or spirits. So,
and if you do believe in like supernatural,
exactly,
like if you are a child of trauma, you're more prone to being able to see that sort of stuff. Like, you know, for me in my own real life, I do believe in that stuff, and I have family members who can see certain things. And the ones that can are the ones that have experienced like so much trauma, whether it be like, you know, losing a parent or, you know, not having family yeah. around and this and that, or just having like really, really traumatic childhood upbringings. And it's just, it's so, coincidental that Tor is the same way.
Well, he is, as Aileen and Patty said in the last episode, that he is a very superstition. He lives in superstitions, right? So he kept the bracelet from Joe as a lucky charm. He keeps now Poppy's hair tie like a lucky charm. Like I said, he sees ghosts. He has abnormal, let's say, strengths. Well, that comes from training as well. But people see him as a monster, right? And if he believes in all of this, and imagine just being able to see supernatural beings, then you have to believe in the curse as well.
Well,
very sad.
Are you wondering more about like what made? I actually wasn't sure if the mom had actually killed the congressperson. You know, it could be that she was set up, but I wonder if we're gonna hear more about that. Like, if that
but
whole backstory is gonna relate strongly to the current story.
She said it plainly before that. She said, the one you love is going to give up their life to save yours, just like your pa did for me. So that was the logical conclusion that...
Right. I mean, he definitely gave up his life to save hers because she would have been found guilty. But I wonder if maybe it was a setup. I don't know. It's, I guess it doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah. You're doing the same as Poppy, hoping, letting the hope die last. Hoping until the very last minute. Yeah, but that would explain a lot of things in Tora's behavior.
All right, I think Saucy, maybe, do you want to take
over? All right. So in the next panel, memory ends, that darkness and the fading giggles go into his, you know, his head is in his hands. And he's saying, get out of my head, you loony old bat. Which is interesting how he refers to his mom, and clearly both he and Poppy have mommy issues.
Oh, that's sad.
And then he has another memory of this night where Poppy flings himself onto him, supporting him, and giving him that caring, and his eyes open, and a kind of... He looks shocked, maybe, by receiving her love. And then another memory of, you know, when he denied her and looked to the side and didn't join her in that vulnerable moment. And that leads him to another conclusion. There he is in the deep blue with the one stripe of light across the bed, but he's not in that light. he's bent over, kind of like that silhouette we had a long time ago when they were describing what he went through in the club. Remember, Kimbo, Claude, and Xing were talking. Xing was explaining him, and they had that silhouetted flashback.
Yeah.
And so he's in that same hunched over position here. Goddamn, I hate my life. And then a big sigh. And then he hears something. Oh, did you want to talk about that moment?
Just a second. Can we go back to the panel where he has his face in his hands and you see his eyes?
Yeah, of course.
In between the memories.
I think
that's the exact moment when he just realized that he did to Poppy what his mom did to him. Oh shit, I replicated the same behavior. She was hugging me, she was comforting me just as I did with mom.
Yeah. Same
quote. I pushed her away.
She was bringing the band-aids.
Yeah, it was like,
aww.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cute and sad.
Right. So yes, on the bed here, Tora realizes that he, like all of us, is trapped in the patterns and attachments and problems of our early childhood. And repeating those systems, recreating them. Yeah.
I'm impressed because at least he realizes that. And, you know, at least he realizes that pushing her away was not such a great choice, or meaning like he's not fooling himself and thinking, no, I don't really love her. You know, he actually realizes he's forced to do this and that it's not a real, you know, a real feeling.
The thing is that he knows he loves her. Sorry. So that's the exact reason why he didn't say it. Because he believes he's cursed. He believes that he says it, it becomes true. So it's not the one that loves you that will die. It's the one that you love. So Poppy might have said it as many times as she wanted, but as soon as he says it, it becomes true, and she is cursed.
I mean, I feel like the curse would work by what you actually feel, whether or not you say it, but whatever.
Yeah, but the semantics, you know, for him, he has to find a way out of this. So he just thinks that maybe this is a loophole.
I mean, it gets me thinking, like, in that panel with his mom, he so easily says, I hate mama. Mm. But he doesn't say, I love you, mama. Mm. So I'm just, it's like that L word just creates such this sickness, this, I don't know, just this energy that is completely disastrous to himself. So, yeah, sorry, I don't know how to explain my thoughts.
Imagine if his mama ever said it to him or not. Because another thing we don't know, if she believes that the person she loves is cursed to die, then she might not have said it to her son.
I was just thinking about that, and I looked back at the language of it. She said, the one you love.
Anybody, the one you love.
Yeah, but not like, it didn't say everyone and anyone that you love.
No.
I would think it's talking about romantic love, not just, you know, any love.
That'd be the implication, but it's a good, I mean, I was thinking about that because if the curse is truly functions that way, then Tora would already be giving up his life for her or crazy by now. Yeah. Right? I mean, she loved him. Again, you're just like, well, maybe they just don't express it because that triggers the curse if you admit it. And then the spirits can kind of figure out, aha, you know, here comes some love. Curse is now in operation. I'm so transactional. It's crazy. Okay. So in any case, as he is musing on these things, he hears
hating himself.
As he's drowning in self-hatred, he hears the whir, whir, which triggers all of his professional, professionalism. He knows what that is, even if we don't. And we see his, the immediacy of his response in the next question as his head comes up and his whole being is focused. And you see in another character, that might be a moment of panic, but it's not for Torah. I see him going into battle mode.
Yeah, like alert guard dog mode.
Yeah.
His whole body is rigid and he's tense and ready for action.
Yep. And so meanwhile, outside the door, someone is playing with her hair. And then she looks into her palm where we see Joe's ring on the loop for it. And she remembers opening the gift from Torah and seeing.
Is it possible that that might be the bracelet? The one that is looped around the ring?
Oh, yeah. Is that the bracelet just unlooped? All right. Well, that could be.
Could be. I thought
they were two separate, but in any case, yeah.
Oh, wait. No, she probably replaced the chain. Tor broke the chain.
Yeah.
It looks like the bracelet. That's why I was asking.
It does. Hard to say, but it does look like when, especially in the next panel when she opens the little birthday gift. Thank you to ask me out. We remember this note and didn't have time to get you a present, so I'm giving you this instead. And it, of course, was the ring and bracelets. And then she remembers the hug at Regina's peak.
Okay. That hug. Broke my heart.
And then her hand curls around the ring and probably the bracelet. You're not the only one with a lucky charm, you filthy little liar. And then we have a slight moment of comic relief here where you better lock your windows and you better blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. I'm so strong and my lashes are so long.
I love
her. Something else is pretty long, too.
I'm salty here. Right.
Yeah. So Poppy is not... unlike Tora, Poppy is not just rolling over and crying in her beer here. She has... she's got her spirit and she's not gonna be just kind of crumpling around his behavior tonight. So that's good.
She's not cutting him any slack here. I love that about her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you wanna be an asshole, but I'm not gonna grovel before you. I offered my help, I did what I could, I tried. But if you don't want it, fine.
She's still in full door slamming mode.
Yeah.
But I think if she had carried on with this monologue, I'm so strong and my lashes are so long and would have been in my sweatpants are so gray and my feet are so, then she would have ended up turning herself on and we'd have had a whole different scene. But instead, we're rudely interrupted by the whir sound, which she does not react to. She's trying to fiddle around closing the window like he told her to, and Quincy told her about.
She has no idea what that is.
She's like me trying to open a pickle jar here, by the way. She's just like, huh? Yeah, she does. He would just reach over her and slide it shut.
Wouldn't that be awesome just for her to go back to Tora's room and, hey, can you help me close the window?
So embarrassing.
Oh, that'd be awesome. She slams the door open. Hey!
Come on, close the window.
Your fudgy window won't even close. But then the whir gets louder and she's like, what the heck is that? And we see what it is. A creepy military style helicopter that is approaching the open window.
Oh gosh.
But that's not her reaction. She might as well just take out she probably wants to Instagram this thing. She's like, oh, cool, a chopper. I rarely see choppers in Moonbright. Are they usually this silent? Gee, or is it some kind of modified thingy.
Wow.
I love her.
Self-preservation skills.
Zero. And it gets very close, way too close than a chopper should be to a building with these. The whir noise is now very clear. So she's yanking. Crap, the window's stuck. The whir gets extremely loud. She's now sweating and yanking harder, and her heart is racing. Buddy, hey, you're flying too low. What?
The horror font, the one that the bubble is, yep. Horror style.
Yeah, that's true. And you can see from the way her ponytail's drawn, kind of split and moving, I can kind of see her, mm-hmm. the action of her
pony. That girl is struggling.
Yeah. And now the chopper is close enough that she can see details, and her heart is getting louder and louder as she sees a familiar mask in the chopper with some sort of terrifying weapon in front of, we're assuming it's a he. And she has a flashback to
same mask,
the break-in, the being tied up, the masked man holding the knife up, her heart just pounding in her ears, and there he is, looming over her. Her hand slips. She's tugging so hard on the window, her hand pulls off of it, and she falls back and grunts as she hits the ground in front of the open window. So there's nothing between the line of fire of that gun and her. And now the chopper sounds, the whirring of the blades is enormously loud. It's probably the only thing she can hear. And she's panting and shaking. And we hear her start to say Tora's name as the masked figure points the weapon down at her, in her direction. The end! How could you?
Oh, boy. Who is this creepy bastard?
Is it? And I wonder, is it the same person that kidnapped her, or are they just using the same mask? So, like, they're goats.
Open question.
Yeah.
Any theories?
Well, didn't we say we were like Gil or Goliath were our theories? There are theories about it being Poppy's family trying to get her back in a really convoluted way.
And there's theories about who they're there for. It's Quincy's place. Are they after? Is it? Well, that'd be an interesting one for Vincent to send people to take down his own son. Ooh. If he doesn't want to step aside.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's rugged. And or somebody coming after Tora for some reason.
There might be Shark and Martin. Mm. That's one of the theories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because they were just scorned at the meeting, and now Quincy is taking over, so maybe they don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could, I don't know, manipulate Vincent into doing whatever they wanted, or at least Vincent wasn't, let's say, smart enough to figure out what Shark was doing. And they don't like the new status quo. So that is one possibility. There's also the possibility that it's not clan related. Maybe it's someone from outside. Yes, maybe someone. I don't know if they came for Poppy. I think they came to hurt Tora and not her.
So do you think these are people that are like Goliath's people, possibly?
There's been a lot of clan drama in the last few episodes. I mean, if...
Why would Goliath send somebody to kill her, Tora, or Quincy?
Well, if...
I don't know.
If Tora is Quincy's muscle in his new role and his... Like, you know, if you're playing chess, so now yeah. Quincy is the king, and so his... The strongest position would be the queen, but I mean player. Yeah. So yeah. Tora would be his queen, basically. And so to take the most powerful piece out, so I'm not going to kill Quincy. I'm going to basically cut his legs out from under him by killing Tora. And then Quincy is going to be more beholden to the man, to his dad, who still has his...
Imagine if people knew that Quincy is squeamish around blood and that Quincy is not capable to firing a weapon. We don't know that, but let's assume that people know that Quincy needs Tora to be his muscle.
Yeah.
So then it could practically be any other clan that wants supremacy.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't tie up with the fact that they were in Poppy's apartment.
Right. Yeah. Probably so, connected, unless they just happened to use the same mask.
What were the theories around the break-in?
Gil, Goliath.
At the time, I thought that it was Gil or Shark or somebody tied with them. But then I realized that they went there in Poppy's absence. So they weren't trying to hurt her or kidnap her, or they were looking for something.
The notebook.
Maybe.
And then she happened to come home and then they tied her up and
yeah.
My gut tells me it's Shart.
Start.
I was hoping someone would catch that.
If we go with the theory that she was hidden for a reason by her father, that she said she's in the mafia, so maybe she has mafia ties. There's also the possibility that whoever came in the apartment came looking for evidence that Poppy was the person they wanted, that Poppy was the person they were looking for. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but after the break-in, the photograph with Poppy and her mom and dad was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go down this rabbit hole,
really missing. I never caught that.
Again, I don't know if this is a clue or it was just...
No, this is a clue then. Yeah, this is a clue. It's the first time I'm ever hearing it. In the last 3 years, I've been reading this comic.
So after Poppy's break-in, when she is having the talk with Gyu and with Tora in her living room, she has all her stuff are... on the floor, and the photograph is nowhere.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow.
It's Poppy's mom. Mm. We didn't discount Poppy's mom.
I think everybody's Poppy's mom by now.
Poppy's mom wouldn't need the picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it's another clan.
No, if it's somebody from another clan, or if it's somebody who is looking for Poppy or her family, and they broke into the apartment to find evidence that she is the missing person, the wanted person, whatever. And then they connected her to Tora, because then after that, before that, the word didn't get out that she and Tora had a relationship or they were close. After that, it happened, after the kiss on our street.
Mm.
So first they find her, then they connect her to Tora and the Balfman. So the word on the street is that she goes out with a Balfman elite. So maybe now they send the chopper not for her, but for the Balfman.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy theory. I take responsibility for that. Well, that's the fun in it too. I don't think it's Goliath though. There's this theory that Goliath and Tora are brothers or cousins, or they're related because they have the same skin, the same eye color. the same similar facial features. Goliath already has a weapon to kill Tora, and that is the footage that he hid with Tora's actions, right? With Tora's deeds. So why would Goliath or anybody associated with him come and try to kill him in open space? Doesn't make sense to me, at least.
I also kind of assume Goliath is not interested in killing Tora. Like,
yeah, Goliath is somewhere in the jungle.
Goliath is a wild card. We don't know much about him.
Running from, I don't know, God knows who.
He was impaled in a treetop. Remember? He fell off into the lid. He jumped off the cliff.
Yeah. Oh, he's still alive. Yeah.
Hopefully he landed in some water.
He's there in the air. Since he's floating out there. Yeah.
Well, see him in the last panel of this season, so.
Yeah, but imagine Goliath already betrayed Tora once, but also Goliath trusted Tora enough to ask him for help when he was in trouble, and Tora came. Tora wouldn't have come for some stranger, for nobody, for someone who betrayed him. Tora would have come from someone whom he cared about, for one of his friends, for one of his thugs, for one of his brothers, for somebody that was important to him. So it's clear that they have a past, they have a sort of relationship of whatever, a friendship, something. So we just, I don't know, I'm very curious to see if Goliath pops up again and what are his intentions.
Oh, he has to pop up again. I mean, you guys are aware of my theory. I just don't know how accurate it is. I'm always wrong. I am like 98% wrong.
What's your theory?
Well, I really think that they're brothers. And I remember I circled the panel of Tora's mama, that she might have went crazy because not only does she have to take care of Tora at that moment, being a single mom, but she might have been pregnant.
Right.
Possibility.
Okay. I
remember that theory.
That explains why the article didn't mention another child.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, if I can scroll back real quick, just to that panel, you'll see what I'm saying. Okay, so like here, see how her belly is kind of like, you know, sloping? Yeah. So it could just be fabric hanging, you know, whatever. Or it could be a belly, who knows? Could be a few months, 5-6 months. I don't know. This is a wild theory just coming out of the blue because I've always thought they were brothers. And Tora's clearly at least like 5 or 6 years older than him. So
That'd be fun. I do think they're related because they do look so much alike. I'm a brother's cousin, something.
And if you think about like royalty, like think of like old royals, like there's so much backstabbing. It's so much like even your blood, you will kill them, you know, for power. Yeah. So I'm just like, that doesn't surprise me if that were to happen in this scenario.
If we go with my theory that the congressman was from a line of monarchs and Tora's mom was from another line of monarchs, it could make sense that she killed him in order to, I don't know, get the throne back or... Well,
I totally thought you were going to say she was knocked up by the congressman.
Kill her brother? Or her family members? Oh my lord.
That would explain the crazy giggling though. It's so inappropriate because she was like super hormonal. She was just like 8 weeks along and was just out of her mind with grief and hormones. Mm. No, that's not great. Back it up. Unwind that. Take it back.
Take those words back. Yeah. Well, what we didn't talk about, but I think it's obvious that Tora has replicated his mom's tattoos.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just in the other left to right and left to left, but
I'm very excited for the next episode.
It makes me wonder if her tattoos mean anything. I mean, it's obvious that, well, the peonies are from Ulan's bloodline, but if they mean anything in terms of mafia business, of recognition, of like the Yakuza tattoos, they are very similar in style. So even the women have it in the Japanese mafia.
I did a ton of research on this very topic, and I remember reading an interview with the Yakuza, and they were asking him what his tattoos meant, and he said, mm-hmm. "If you see someone who is tattooed in the old way, it represents, it's not like so much, oh, I have all this courage. It represents you have no regrets, because you're not hiding who you are." It's right on there on your skin. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw her tattoos, it made me think, well, yeah, she was the assassin because she's clearly in the role of a gangster, essentially. Mm-hmm. But who knows, the tattoos could have a different meaning.
No, I thought in a similar way because I associated them with the Yakuza Mafia and the same thing. I did a bit of research from my old time fic. Yeah. And it's showing the world who you are. So how ironic and how amazing would it be that she was also a hitman like Tora?
Mm. Oh, that's so cool.
Right?
I love a female assassin hitman.
Well, we are running out of time and I also have to go. So
yeah, we had a long
it's been about 2 hours.
This is the longest one I've ever been on. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yep.
We had a lot to unpack, so I'm loving the last vibe of the last episode. It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'm excited. We got the new one tomorrow, so that's great. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. It was fantastic and wonderful. I'm not going to ask for the last panel, favorite panel, because I do have to run. But thank you so much. It was really great to do the podcast together.
Thank you, Mindy, for always hosting.
All right. Bye. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my current patrons, Lily, Molly, Veronica, Emily, Joe Rochelle, Saucy Tuggles, Anne Rose, Alexa, Misty, Joanne, Esther, and Watching You People, Emily Jean, Kay, Lily, Beckett, Christine, Sadie, Teresa, Mrs. Castaldo, Amapora, Ruby, Sophia, and Serena. Your support is truly appreciated.